Well, before we begin our study this morning, we like to pray. And I want to do something new in our opening prayer for our study. I want to call out Hebrew phrases and you repeat after me so that you can actually participate in praying with me. So if you'll repeat after me, phrase by phrase, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Asher kidshanu, b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu, la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, you prayed well. I congratulate you. You're going to grow in your Hebrew. You're going to grow in your understanding of the Word week by week, month by month, year by year. And one day we will have scores of people who are participating in our Torah service and have the ability to read from Torah, from the scrolls, and have the ability to participate in every way possible. We will be there, and we have more now than ever before. But if you want to grow in your Hebrew, I encourage you to invest yourself in the time that it takes to learn some Hebrew, grow step by step, and it will be rewarding to you. This morning, I really enjoyed coming to the house of the Lord and being in the presence of the Lord. We've felt his presence and his goodness today, even as we've talked about some difficult things like HaShoah, and we've remembered things that touch us deeply in our hearts and bring out a lot of strong emotion. But it's beautiful to come into the house of the Lord. And I've got a seat over on this one side, and I found myself just looking out on the water and imagining it was a river, a long river. It's actually a pretty good lake, but I had such a view. I was just lost in my thoughts, and it actually helped me draw closer to the Lord. You know, there are times when you can be in a fog. There are times when it feels like you can't see what the next step is. You don't even know which direction to turn. Can anybody relate to that? There can be times when it feels like you can't see the forest for the trees. You're just focused on the same things again and again, and no matter what you try to do, you can't get your mind off of them. There are times when we have problems that can't be solved. There are times when we have questions and we have no answers. And there are times when we're facing tests and trials and we have no idea how we're going to get through. These challenges could touch our work or our lack of work. They could touch our schooling, whether we're in grade school or university. They could touch our finances, our family, our friends, our health. And we can get stuck in every kind of way, in the way that we think and in the way that we act. And we're all familiar with this, aren't we? If you're not familiar with this, and this seems new to you, welcome to the real world. We're also familiar with the feelings that come with these experiences, feelings of fear, worry, anxiety, distress, hopelessness. And there are times when no matter how much we analyze and how hard we think through and try to think through what we should do, no matter how much we work at figuring out and trying to work things out, we simply cannot get unstuck and we stay in a rut. And I know even talking about this morning can make some of you nervous. I mean, there are times when we gather and you just want to forget about everything, and I understand that. And just to bring it up may make some of you uncomfortable. But this morning, I bring it up because I want to help you get unstuck, and I want to share with you how God has designed worship and Shabbat to help you so that you will become smarter. Who's in favor of being smarter? And you will become more creative. Are you in favor of that too? And more productive. Who's in favor of being more productive? And a better problem solver. So these are things that you're in favor of. And as I've been preparing for this for the last few weeks, I came across a book by Jonah Lehrer. It's a best-selling book called Imagine. Let me see what the subtitle is. Imagine How Creativity Works. And it's about the science of creativity. And Jonah Lehrer is a journalist. He writes for the Wall Street Journal, excuse me. And he's found that many times people get stuck when they need to be creative. They get stuck when they need to solve problems. And one of the things that gets us stuck is we analyze and analyze and analyze. Have you ever heard the term the paralysis of analysis? There are times when we think through things over and over again. You know, how many in this group know what it's like to be obsessive or compulsive, where you just focus on things again and again? And there are certain times when being obsessive can actually be productive. But there are other kinds of problems that cannot be solved by our obsessive ways. And Jonah Lehrer has done some research, and he's found that many times we actually have creative solutions inside of us, but we can't access them. We can't think clearly enough to get them out. And the reason is we try too hard. This may seem contradictory, but we give too much attention to the problem we're trying to solve. And he writes this: one of the surprising lessons on the research of the science of creativity is that trying to force an insight can actually prevent the insight. While it's commonly assumed that the best way to solve a difficult problem is to relentlessly focus, this clenched state of mind, that's a great picture, a clenched state of mind, comes with a hidden cost. It inhibits the sort of creative connections that lead to breakthroughs. And we actually suppress the very type of brain activity that should be encouraged. Now, every one of us has one brain, am I right? And it has two sides, and the technical name for one side is the left side. The technical name for the other side, you'd see if you can answer, the right side. You are doing very well. You're up to the same level I am in the science. Yeah, I made some note about this other part, the anterior superior temporal gyrus, just to amuse myself, because I will never be able to remember that. But I can remember the left side and the right side. Can you remember that too? So the part of our brain that works so hard on analysis and thinking through details and that can really concentrate and be productive, if we overwork that part, it can inhibit the other part that is open to creative insight, helps us with language. In fact, one researcher came to understand some of this by looking at people who had brain damage on the right side of their brain, and he found out that some of them, because of the brain damage on the right side, they couldn't understand jokes anymore. Or sarcasm. Now, that would be terrible, wouldn't it be? And some of them could not, like, appreciate and even take in carefully paintings. There's certain kinds of things that require the right side of the brain. And when we overuse the other side of the brain, it sort of shuts down our access to that. Now, many of us, when we are in a difficult situation, we try to work harder. We don't want to give up. We try to do more. Many of us feel like if we can just enhance our concentration and work harder and longer, we will somehow come to the answer that we're looking for. And that is why caffeine is so popular. How many of you can admit that caffeine is your drug of choice? It's socially permitted here. And it's also why energy drinks sell so well right now. So if you drink Red Bull, listen up right now, because I want to tell you something. Caffeine and energy drinks and things like that can actually give you the energy to keep going, but they have a hidden side effect, which is the parts of your brain that effectively can gain insight through the creative processes actually is hindered when you use more caffeine and more energy drinks and things like that. So if you need to drive and pay attention, grab a Red Bull. But if you've got a problem that can't be solved and you're drinking lots of coffee, it may actually hurt you rather than help you. So you have to be careful. It's not obvious to everybody, because most of us actually think that if we boost our concentration, we work harder, we work longer, we focus more on the problem we're trying to solve that we cannot solve, that we will be able to break through. Does anyone know what I'm talking about already? That concentration, even that worry that can happen to us. Well, Jonah Lehrer comments, it's not until you let yourself relax and indulge in distractions that you discover answers many times. The insight often arrives only after you stop looking for it. It's only at the point after we stop searching for an answer that the answer arrives. And there's a reason a relaxed state of mind is actually important for engaging the side of your brain that is open to insight into creativity. He says, when our minds are at ease, we're more likely to turn away from the details of the problem we're trying to solve. And though the pattern of attention is necessary when solving problems analytically, it actually prevents us from detecting connects that lead to insights. So he has many different ideas about what you can do to boost your creativity by entering into a relaxed state of mind. One that he recommends is so easy, take a hot shower. How many of you have had the experience of worship in the shower? Some of you might think, you know, you should dress up to worship God. It's hard to do that in the shower. What's the point? And have you ever had the experience of being in the shower and just not even worrying about anything? I don't know that a cold shower produces the same effect. It may focus your attention. He says there's another thing you can do, and that is learn to daydream, to allow yourself to daydream. Now, in this sanctuary, in this synagogue, we have a section that is specifically designed for people who need to daydream. Now, I'm going to point it out. It does not mean that the people sitting there right now are daydreaming, but the chairs in this back corner by the window, all you by the window, would you raise your hand? Yeah, okay. They're listening right now. But these chairs look out on the lake, and I can tell you there are times when you want to be in the house of the Lord, but you got nothing to give. And you just need to receive a little bit of peace and to let go. And there may be times when you need to grab one of those chairs, sit out there while everybody's worshiping or while I'm speaking or other things are happening. You can just look out that window, let your mind go. And you might not know that that's permitted. So I'm telling you, as the rabbi, that's permitted. We do ask that you not snore loudly. If you need to take a nap and you snore, we have to find another room for you. But there are times when, in order to connect with God, you've got to relax and let go of the things that trouble you. And so even in the sanctuary, there's a place for you. And all of you who sit over there need to sit over there freely and gladly. Some just sit over there because they like the view, or they like the light or something like that, or they want to be further away from me. I'm not sure. Hi, y'all. I love you over there. Now, don't judge them. You know, those of you who are like hyper brain thinkers and you can't let go of your thought processes, don't look at them and say, yeah, I'm better than they are. I can concentrate right now. I'm just saying these things because I want you to understand that what you may need sometimes is just to daydream or to let go and not to overconcentrate. And that's okay. You can, in good conscience, come to the house of God and do that. It's not sacrilegious. If you understand, it can help you get free. That trying too hard can actually keep you from experiencing the freedom that God has for you. Well, some of you will probably go out, you'll buy the book Imagine by Jonah Lehrer, and then you'll be disappointed and angry with me because you'll say there is absolutely nothing in this book about worshiping and connecting with God. And so that is my full disclosure to you. If you're looking to find out about that, don't buy the book, don't read the book. It's not about that. However, it does do a good job of helping us understand how there are some counterintuitive processes that we can engage in that stimulate our creativity or create a state of mind that enable us. And it's with those insights in mind that sometimes letting go will actually lead you to discover something that you need for your breakthrough. Lehrer does mention some very useful things about our state of mind. First, our mood is important for creative problem solving, and he cites some German research that says that gloominess actually affects our creativity, our problem solving, and our ability to gain insight. In other words, your ability to think clearly is affected by your emotions. How many can verify that? You knew that without the research. Have you ever just felt so bad you couldn't think clearly? Who can identify with that? Have you ever felt so good you couldn't think clearly? See, it works both ways. And it turns out that that happiness is also important for creativity. Lehrer cites a researcher, Mark Beeman, who found that happiness gives about a 25% boost to how effectively people can solve puzzles that require insight. So it doesn't even take a lot of happiness. Watching 5 minutes of a comedy can boost people's creative performance by 20 to 40%, that alone. And fleeting feelings of delight can lead to dramatic increases. Well, there's one of his key observations is some problems can't be solved by using your left side of the brain for analysis, and that we have to learn to sort of disengage that part in order to relax enough, or through relaxing, to be open to insight and thus to creativity. So I want to share with you now about how creativity and relaxing and all these things, all these ideas connect with worship, and how worship can make you smarter. When we come to worship together on Shabbat, we're participating in one of the most powerful experiences that's available to us. And I want to point out to you what makes it powerful. Number one, we stop. To gather together on Shabbat requires that we deliberately stop. You have to stop your work. You have to stop your other plans. You have to stop trying to be productive. You have to stop working on all of your chores. And you come into the house of the Lord in order to honor Him. We sing. We pray. We give thanks, we worship, and we do something that is not obvious to us. We take a break by turning our attention away from our needs and our problems, and we take time to listen and we quiet our hearts. Now, everyone has probably had the experience of coming into worship and not being able to enter in. You're hindered by your own thoughts. You want to worship, but you can't stop thinking about your problems. Let's just identify some of the top problems that can get in the way of worship. Can anyone tell me one? Family relationships. Can't stop thinking about what's going on. What's another top problem? Money. Anybody here know what that means? Everybody here know what money is? Okay. And it's not usually that we have too much of it that hinders us, right? What is it? Not having enough. Money pressure, right? What's another top problem that can stop us? Health problems. That's right. We hurt. We're sick. We're wounded. We're suffering. And we can't get our minds off of it. Or someone we care dearly about is in that condition. And we are just so caught up in that. Another one? Exams. Who's taking tests here? Okay, all those who are taking tests, raise your hand. Oh, let's just go, aw, to them. Aw. A little mercy. I'm not being sarcastic. Aw, it's nice to be somewhere where people care enough to go, aw. Okay, exams can keep you. Another? Work. Having too much work? Or not enough work can do that, right? A little different from money. So that can hinder us.
Spiritual.
Pardon?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. Our spiritual relationship with God. What, our problem with it?
It can be,
it can be out of whack, and we want to be close, but. You see, there are times when we sincerely come here and we want to worship, but we're hindered because our minds are on other things. And so if we're going to experience the benefits that come to us through Shabbat and worship, we have to learn to deal with these things. And that's why Scripture teaches us to release our worries to God. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything." Do you know that is a lot easier to say than to do? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. You can't stop being anxious by trying not to be anxious. And that's why the scripture goes on. It says, instead, pray about everything. So it turns out that you could be anxious and hold it in and be ruled by it and let it just stir around in your mind and in your heart, or you can pray about it. Now, how you pray about it, you know, we'll talk about in the future. But prayer simply means talking to God. So instead of having those thoughts rattling around inside your skull, you verbalize what you're thinking to God. What about if it's ugly? Can you tell God your ugly thoughts? He won't leave you if you tell him. Do you think God can recognize your ugly thoughts before you do? Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? Reminds me of this guy I knew who put on aluminum foil on his head so that the UFOs could not read his mind. Real life experience. It didn't work, we knew. But he was satisfied that it was protecting him. But you and I know better. We know that that God actually knows our thoughts before they're formed, but he does want to hear from us. He doesn't want us just to have things on the inside. That's why Philippians 4:6 goes on. It says, tell God what you need. Tell him what you need and thank him for all he has done. This is an important part of the process. If you want to deal with your worry and your anxiety, you got to talk to God about it, about what you're worried about. You can't just worry independently on your own. You've got to open up what you're worried about to him by telling him what you need and thanking him for all that he has done. And this thanking part is very important. It changes the tone of prayer. When you pray with thanksgiving, it makes your prayer very different. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It doesn't seem like the right thing to do, does it? It almost seems unkind on our part or disrespectful to put our worries on him, and yet he says to do it. And the reason he says to do it is because he cares. He cares. Now, you may think you don't deserve it. The truth is, you don't. That should be good news. You don't deserve it. You never will be able to deserve an absolute holy God's love. However, he loves you anyway. He loves you even though you don't deserve it. He loves you because of the mercy he shows you through his son. He loves you even though you're not good enough and you'll never be good enough. I mean, you can be better, but you'll never be good enough. He loves you because he loves you, because he's love. Psalm 55, 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will take care of you. The Hebrew implies that if you don't cast your cares on the Lord, you won't experience the care from him. That part of the key to receiving is to giving our cares to him. And this takes some deliberate effort. We have to turn to God. We have to let him carry the weight. We have to engage our hearts in thanksgiving because thanksgiving purifies and amplifies our prayers. It changes our prayers when we mix with thanksgiving. When we simply tell God what we need, we can turn into whiners. Well, God, I need this. I needed it yesterday. And no one wants to listen to a whiner. When we add thanksgiving to our prayers, it changes everything because our hearts get pure. We start remembering good things God has done. We start actually being able to think more clearly. Thoughts that were far away from us come close, and we're able to say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Now, some of you have actually experienced breakthroughs this week, and you forget about them. And you're still thinking about what you need and you forgot what God has done. And it's almost as if once you have the breakthrough, you're ready to move on to the next problem. I see heads nodding. You know what I'm talking about. We do this. We all do it. And the cure for us is to remember what God has done and to be deliberate. Now, for some of you, your memory is growing weak. You're in your 30s now. You're finding it difficult to remember things like you used to be able to. And you need help. And that's why you need to write things down. Whether you write on paper or you write digitally, you need to have your tools. I have my tools. I have my little red notebook. And when I fill it, I get another one. And I write things down. I've got my iPhone. It will be with me always. My iPhone learned from Ruth, where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. When you die. Sorry, phone, I'll replace you. Yeah, I'm not that faithful to my iPhone. But I'll write things down there. I have them organized. There are things that we understand, but we won't hold on to unless we take note of them. We write them down, we commit them to memory, and we tell other people. The good things that God has done require that we tell other people. When we have breakthroughs, we should tell someone what's happened. But first of all, we should tell the one who gave us the breakthrough. And we should be thanking him, and we should hold on to the things that he has done for us so that we're always mixing thanksgiving in with our petitions. It purifies and it amplifies our prayer. And we have to give over to God all the negative emotion that locks us up. That may not be easy to do, but it starts at least with acknowledging it to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm just bound up. I am worried. I'm afraid to articulate our feelings and to express them to him and not keep them in to ourselves. When we do these things, it actually brings us real freedom. When we do these things with the Lord, it brings us real freedom. When we come to worship God, we actually let go in a way that allows our hearts and our minds to listen again to him, and they start working in a different way. Sometimes in worship, you will have a big aha. You're worshiping, you're not thinking about your problems, you're not thinking about your challenges, and you understand something. Has anybody had that experience? Could I see your hands if you've had that experience? Quite a few have had that. Sometimes during worship, we may suddenly have an insight that's a key for solving our problems, and the insight actually comes from within us. It was there. We just couldn't get to it. We're so bound up with our worries, we're over-attending our problems, but during worship, our minds get free, and that empowers our thinking, and it renews the spirit of our mind. But there's another way that worship works that can make you more creative and smarter. When you are honoring God and you're drawing close to him with thanksgiving as you're worshiping, and when you're casting your fears on him and your worries upon him, he sometimes will give you a word, a picture, an insight that's not coming from inside of you. It's coming from him to you. You receive it. It's not that you could have ever dug it up. It's one of those things that the scripture calls unsearchable. An unsearchable thing is different from a searchable thing. A searchable thing can be found if you search for it hard enough. An unsearchable thing can only be found if God shows it to you. And there are times when you're worshiping and you're free, and God will give you one of his unsearchable keys for your life. Last Saturday, we had a marvelous time of worship. It was fantastic. Who was here last Saturday? Wasn't it great? Yeah. It was terrific. And I don't know about you, I got some breakthroughs on Saturday. They didn't just start on Saturday, but they went to another level. And I'm grateful to the Lord, and it happened during worship. I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for Eric Painter's word that prepared us last Saturday. I'm grateful for the worship team, and I'm grateful for the congregation for participating, because the anointing in this sanctuary is on us together. When we worship together and we lift our voices up together and we serve God together, that way there's an anointing here. Even when we're reading in unison some of the Hebrew prayers or the translations in English, there's an anointing on it when our voices are lifted up. So there are times when we actually receive answers from him when we're worshiping, not our insights, but his insights, and they can come, not when you're trying to get them, but he just gives them to you because you're ready to receive them. God often speaks in a way that the prophet Elijah called the quiet voice of quietness, or the still small voice. And it takes quieting ourselves in his presence. There are times when God wants to speak to you, but what you need to hear will come to you in a whisper, not in a loud voice. Not in an earthquake, not in a storm, but when all is quiet before the Lord, you will hear. Worship on Shabbat is powerful for us. Yeshua said that Shabbat is made for us. It's not that we were made for Shabbat. Shabbat was made for us. Shabbat is our solution. It's not our problem. We have problems that Shabbat solves. We need time to stop. Now, if you still like the person you're sitting next to, smile at them and say, you need time to stop. You do need time to stop. You need time to stop. And we need time to focus on God, not our problems. And we need time to relax in the house of the Lord, not just be bound up in our problems. Every Shabbat we sing the Vashamru, which in English says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, it's hard for me to understand that the creator of the whole universe, this infinite and all-powerful and all-good being, actually needs a break. You know, like he's going to run out of energy. I don't think it's that. I think he's establishing a pattern for us, because when we stop, we rest, and we're refreshed, it touches him. It has an impact on him. And he wants to be the perfect example for us so that we'll follow his example. He takes a break so that we'll take a break so we can take a break together to be with him. Now, let me close by telling you something. To receive these benefits, it is not enough just to show up. However, showing up does help. But it's not enough just to show up. We need to actually come into his presence with thanksgiving. And so it's important that you come with some thanks in mind when you come into the house of God. If you come empty-handed, you'll probably leave empty-handed. But if you offer up to God your thanks for the things that he has done and what you appreciate about him, you will not leave empty-handed. He will give to you something you need for the day and the week to come. And that's why we deliberately give thanks. We have to come and we open our hearts to God. And what about the worries and the fears and the problems that trouble us? These we cast upon the Lord with thanksgiving. We give them to him. We speak them. The way that you transfer them to him is you look to him and you tell him, I can't take this. I can't carry it. Now, sometimes we're going through difficulty, we feel like we can't make it through, and yet we hold on to it. We tell God about it, but we hold on to it. I can't take it while we're holding on tight. And there's something else we can do. We can say, I can't take it. I need your help. I need your answers for me. It's not enough to show up and then be silent or passive. You won't experience all that you need that way. Some of us are shy, and so we say, well, those other people, they're not shy, or they're not introverted, they're extroverts, so it's easy for them to worship God, but I worship God my way, which is just being perfectly quiet. Some people say, well, I just can't sing, and it's true. But it's not an excuse. You know what the Lord says to some, which is sing. And to others, he says, make a joyful noise. If the best you can do is make some noise, just make sure it's joyful when you do it. And that it's loud enough that you can hear yourself, but don't make it so loud that it ruins the experience for everyone around you. But do open your mouth. And it may be hard to get to pry your mouth open. Some people have spiritual lockjaw. They stepped on a spiritual rusty nail sometime in their life, and they cannot pry their mouth open to speak. And I would say, get healing. Because we need to open our mouths. The Hebrew scriptures are really clear that with my mouth I made known these things to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord with my mouth. I lifted my voice up to him. I opened my mouth and I said, there's this repetition in order to emphasize it. So we come into his presence with singing, and you can join us in our Hebrew prayers, join us in singing, and you will find breakthroughs this way. And when you come into the house of the Lord this way, you loosen up and your creativity is reactivated. It's reawakened. Your spirit can hear again. your imagination and your intuition and your heart open up, and you know what? You will become smarter, because things you didn't know, you will know. God will open up things to you, and you will be able to go out in better condition than you came in. And if you continue to do that, not holding on to every trouble, not getting stuck in everything. Now, for some of you today, I want to give you a question to ask yourself about your troubles, the difficulties right now. This is the question. What if everything works out? What if it does work out? You know, sometimes worry and anxiety appear to be omniscient. They know everything. They certainly talk that way, don't they? But they always focus on the trees and never the forest. They never see the big picture. They'll always tell you how this detail is not going to work and this isn't and this is not. But they'll never tell you about how the whole thing could work. And worry and anxiety don't have the smarts that the Lord has. Worry and anxiety will lie to you and tell you it won't work out. But I'm just asking you a question. What if it does work out? What if the problem you have right now, a year from now, is so long gone, so solved, and things have worked out? What if you knew that right now? I mean, what if? I'm not guaranteeing you some easy life, but I'm raising a question that the lying voice of anxiety will never say. What if it works out? Think about your biggest problem right now, or your 10 biggest problems, because you may have a big list. And what if they work out? What if they work out? How would that change your mood? I would hope it'd make it better. And I want to pray for you that that thought will take hold of you as you begin to pray and as you begin to talk to the Lord about your needs, your troubles, your problems, the things you need answers for, all those things that you've got to work through. What if it works out? Let's pray. Lord, you said that we could cast our anxieties upon you because you care for us. And that you are mindful of us, that we don't have to worry about our food, we don't have to worry about our clothing, we don't have to worry about where we're going to live. Even those are our needs that we have, you're watching over us. You said, seek first the kingdom of God, your government in our lives, and all these things will be added to us. And I pray that we would give room to the thought that the problems that we're having will work out, that we would be able to open our hearts to you and say, God, show me a picture of what life will be later when things are worked out. And that you'll renew our hope. You'll give us even new ideas, new solutions, new ways of approaching things. That you'll bring forth creativity from us. That you will allow insight, sechel, wisdom, practical knowledge to be renewed in us, awakened in us, and that you would renew the spirit of our minds. We ask this with confidence, because of Yeshua, who died for us and rose from the grave, and who demonstrated your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your authority. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Don't anyone stand on their own? Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha, ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha, yisah Adonai p'nav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.